Well, it's Wednesday, and that means it's time to talk sports with Only a Game's Bill Littlefield, who joins us now. Hey, Bill.
Hello, Anthony.
So first, let's talk about something that's been brewing for a few weeks, the expected suspensions of baseball players who allegedly use performance-enhancing drugs, including New York Yankees third baseman Alex Rodriguez. Bring us up to date here.
Well, as you say, brewing for weeks, and even as we speak, still brewing. Alex Rodriguez is, of course, the odd man out so far in this discussion because he's the only one who's been talking about appealing and fighting the suspensions that Major League Baseball would levy. Everybody else seems to be falling in the line or about to fall into line. They'll accept suspensions for at least the rest of this season and then go on with their careers after that.
Now, A-Rod, there's talk that he could face a lifetime ban for his alleged involvement. Is that true? And if so, why so severe for him?
It's all going to depend on what Major League Baseball ends up charging Alex Rodriguez with. It could be everything from actually being involved with Biogenesis and using performance-enhancing drugs again to obstructing justice, to lying to investigators. I mean, the list is long, and we're not entirely sure at this point how it's going to come down.
And we're not entirely sure if any of this scandal could touch the Red Sox at this point, right?
I haven't heard anything about it touching the Red Sox. Maybe it's going to touch a Red Sox pitcher since they went out and acquired another one, but I haven't heard anything about that.
Well, let's talk about that. Speaking of that, the Red Sox are trying to beef up their pitching staff. Last night, they signed right-hander Jake Peavy from the Chicago White Sox in a 3-team, 7-player trade that, among other things, forced them to give up their young rookie shortstop, Jose Iglesias. What do we know about Jake Peavy?
Well, we know he's 8-4 this year, that he hasn't pitched as much as he might have because he had some injuries. We know that in just a few seasons ago, he was a heck of a pitcher, won 19 games. Anybody's guess, I guess, how good he is these days, but apparently the Red Sox felt good enough. And I did read one article that said he may end up being the best pitcher traded during this particular trading period.
Yeah, this is one of those situations where you hope that past performance is an indication of what he can do next week.
Exactly.
He's a 3-time All-Star, a Cy Young Award-winning pitcher, but as you say, he's only won 8 games this season, so we'll have to see. Where else do the Red Sox need to strengthen as a team to be sure to make it into the playoffs?
I'm not sure if I were in charge of the Red Sox at this point, I would do very much tinkering. I think they've already done much better than anybody thought they were going to at this point in 2013. I wouldn't really horse around with it too much. The chemistry seems to be good. They get hitting when they need it. Their pitching actually has been very good compared
even without
to
Clay
teams.
An injured Clay Buchholz.
Yeah, and Middlebrooks, who was supposed to be such a key this season, will be back now that Iglesias is gone. So, I don't think I'd do very much tinkering, as I say.
Bill, from the state of the Red Sox today, let's move on to a remembrance of a former Red Sox. The slugger George Scott, also known as Boomer, passed away this week. He was only 69 years old. He was the first African-American star player of the Red Sox team, and he's best remembered for his role as first baseman on Boston's impossible dream team of 1967.
Ground ball, great stop by Scott, and he tags the bag. A tremendous play by the Red Sox first baseman on a rifle shot. Ground ball.
So, Bill,
right,
I got to say, I was a young kid in those days, but I remember George Scott. Bigger than life, played a fantastic first base, big slugger. What do you remember about George Scott?
One of my memories has to do with a very early Only a Game show. I think it was our fourth show back in 1993, and he was running a baseball camp at Curry College in Milton, where I also teach. And we went out and spoke to him for a while. And one of the things that I thought was most interesting that he had to say, he talked about the fact that hitting is a little unpredictable. You hit in streaks. Well, I'll let George talk a little bit about that.
I don't think that you can hit every day, but I think that you can run hard every day. You can catch the ball every day. I think that you can do these things, and this was my goal, was to always contribute something to my ball team that would eventually give us a chance to win that ball game on that particular day.
great fun talking to him back 20 years ago. Always gentle, always pleasant, and always seemed to me to have a sense of humor as well about himself and about whatever you were talking about.
Well, here's what
really a player who played with such joy, and the joy was contagious.
I remember that as well, and I was surprised that I could actually remember the infield that he played on. George Scott at first base, Mike Andrews at second, Rico Petrocelli at short, and Joe Foy at third base. I can't believe I can remember that. And what? Pitchers like Jim Lomborg and Sparky Lyle.
Not a bad ball club.
Not a bad ball club. Well, you can find a link to Bill Littlefield's Remembrance of George Scott at RadioBoston.org. And you can hear more of Bill on Only a Game, which airs on WBUR's Saturday at 7 in the morning and again at 7 in the evening. Bill, as always, thanks for stopping by.
Thank you, Anthony.
Radio Boston is a production of WBUR, Boston's NPR news station. I'm Carrie Goldberg.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. Join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.